Just a heads up, this episode does contain some adult language.
So that's where I think good hosts comes from, where they can get information out of their guests without making it sound like it's like a news interview.
Hi, welcome to the Creative Curry Podcast. My name is Dinesha. I am a storyteller and writer, and I am on the search to find the recipes behind a creative life. So what we're doing is we're bringing in creatives from all industries into the studio for me to interrogate them. I mean, question them and have conversations with them about the work they're doing and the stories that they are telling. Welcome back to the Creative Curry Podcast. The podcast where we ask questions about curry and creativity. And so this is a little, I don't even know what to call it, recap episode, roundtable discussion, even though our table is not round. and we just sort of wanted to just sort of recap this, the first season that we've had. And for that, we've actually brought back our last guest, who was in season one. We have Vaishalini Naidu. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
We have me, Dinesha Kathakesu, your host. And host for the season, but not the host for this episode. We're changing things a little here. And we also have my executive producer, Safwan Siddiq.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, the person behind the scenes who does a lot of the heavy lifting. Let's be honest, without him, I'm dead.
Finally, the people can hear my voice instead of just the laugh. the quiet laugh.
Yes.
Behind the scene,
or him,
right?
Holding back his laughter. and like, you know, we actually have a conversation with every single guest where, like, when you start talking, do not address Safwan. Yeah. Safwan's not in the room. Yeah. Please don't interact with him. Yeah, that's happened a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You have to be like, yeah, don't acknowledge him.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as host, this is Vesha speaking, by the way. That actually is my first question. Why?
Why is this
why not include you in the conversation?
Oh. Because I've always I don't know, I've never am very comfortable behind the mic, I guess. Like no, in front of the mic, I mean. Behind the mic, I'm like, yeah, chill. Tak ada hal lah, kan? You put 15 mic, so I'm like, behind the mic, I'm good. I can manage everyone. Mm. In front of the mic, somehow, I've done episodes. I actually started podcasting, like, in front of the mic. But, I always felt more comfortable producing, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. And when we were exploring this episode, we're developing this episode with Dinesha, I don't know, I've always had this, I'll play the role of the behind the scene guy in this whole thing, and the conversation should always be like Dinesha and our guests. Mm. Because I think you're more inclined to the your work is more, much of Dinesha's work is more towards the arts, I guess.
Hmm.
And I feel like, though I dabble, I'm not exactly, I don't know, I don't consider myself an artist.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm maybe not qualified.
Okay.
to be in this conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. To be fair, okay, I think maybe also to add to that is that we went through like a pretty long pre-production.
Yeah, we did.
Like,
yeah,
our pre-production
was
about at least 2 months, at least three months, maybe even 3 months, where we considered various versions of what this podcast could be.
Mm-hmm.
We considered a version where I hosted it together with one of the Poet X members, Azam Rais.
Mm-hmm.
There was like this an entire conversation, and we thought it'd be really cool if it was at that point, maybe, I don't know, whether I think it was writing specific but not poetry centric.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it'd be really cool if like two slam champions sort of like host it and we have these conversations about writing.
Mm.
We played with that. We played with different co-host every
every day.
Episode. A different co-host every episode.
And then I'm like, that's a logistical nightmare.
That is the sole reason I don't have a co-host.
Yeah.
Because it was a logistical nightmare.
Yeah,
actually, I don't know. But I think that's why with this particular recap and roundup, I really wanted Safwan's voice to be heard because he is a huge part of this podcast too.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I tried to do my job.
That he's not, he's unfortunately not being paid for. Huh? Let me just be completely honest. I wish I could pay him.
I don't know. Podcasting has always been, I've listened to podcasts for the longest time. I think I started 2008 probably, you know. So it has always been the, you know, like the go-to choice of audio entertainment. Even compared to music. I'm like, yeah, I know. When I say that to people, sometimes people are like, what? I'm like, don't you like music? That's somehow I prefer people talking when I'm driving, right? I don't know. That just makes, when I listen to music, I get sleepy. And, you know, long drives, I just prefer conversations that engage my mind a bit more, I guess. So, I've always liked podcasting, and then me and some friends started doing, created our own podcast, and that's where I learned that when you have three people on the mic, it's gonna be a logistical nightmare. If you commit to three people minimum per episode, and you're doing like a weekly show, and no one's getting paid to do it, yeah, you really need a lot of passion for it, yeah. So I think just from the producing experience, me and Dinesha, I think we combine our experiences together.
Yeah, we come at it from different
to make this show as smooth as possible, right?
Yes, we do different things.
Okay. So then on that, why podcasting for you?
I think it was because, so I grew up in like this sort of like this bubble of personal development and self-help and things like that. And so when I was, I think, 17, 18, actually maybe even earlier. So my parents also used to listen to like self-help and personal development. And this, that time was CDs. Actually, even before that, cassettes. Like I would listen, like they would listen in the car, they would listen at home. And so I would be picking up all of these like notes, like these audio bits. And the thing, when I was 17, 18, I put myself on a subscription of those CDs and things like that. So I was very familiar with this idea of learning orally. And so I was like taking notes and things like that. And so I think when then I started commuting to college and things like that, I realized at long journeys. And then I was like, oh, let's make it useful. So at that point, I would burn those CDs into my iPod or my phone or whatever, and I would listen to it. And then I think when I stopped that subscription and I stopped building like so traditional business, I found podcasts. And so then my world into podcasts has been a lot of very interview, personal development, self-help podcasts. That's how I started. And then I was listening to the Versus podcast, VS podcast by Franny Choi and Dennis Smith. And it was a poetry podcast, and I was obviously a poet at that point, and I was listening to it. I know the exact moment. I was driving back home. I was climbing up the hill to my place in Damansara Perdana, and I suddenly went, I'm going to start a podcast. And I was just like, I could have this conversation. I want to ask questions. And literally that was how it was. I remember it because my immediate instinct was to contact Azam and you guys at Poet X. But I also then considered another podcast producer, Renegade Radio. These were my options. And also I texted in a WhatsApp group that I was in, and I was like, yo, what do y'all know about podcasts? And I had friends who were like, oh, we had this equipment. We could make this happen, kind of a thing. And then I chose, between the three, I chose Poet X because the moment I texted Azam, we had a meeting in a week. Like within that week, we had the meeting, we sat down, we had a conversation. And I was like, I think these guys know what they're doing. And one season later, they do know what they're doing. I tell you this, I know this for a fact. I think, yeah, that was what it was. It was a progression. It was a learning progression of what I was learning and the questions I wanted to ask.
Interesting. For you, Safwan, like, how long have you been making your own podcast?
I think me and my friend started Te Halia podcast 2016, like early 2016, like conversations were had late 2015, like we were like researching and stuff, and then I think 2016 is when we start. Remember, like our first episode was all of us reviewing Force Awakens. So that was the that was when I'm like, let me try and host. And I learned I'm not that good at hosting. Or at least at that time. Because it was a group of us. There was I think maybe five or six of us. So we committed ourselves to creating a weekly show where we discussed current issues, right? And because of that, I think it went on for maybe 6 to 8 months before everyone felt like it was a bit too much, I guess. And it was because we wanted to do a weekly show, means we have to meet up every single week, right? And we made the format so that it has to be at least 3 people and sometimes more if there's people available. So I think I totally understand why much I died off because it started feeling like it's like a job, right? Yeah. But somehow for me myself, that's when I realized I really enjoy building episodes and like producing it. So that's when we contacted Azam and started Poet X off of Teh Halia's at that time platform. And then now Poet X is own thing, and then from Poet X came Creative Curry, right? It's like it's this progression. Not saying that Poet X is gone.
This is gonna be like, has he realized that?
yeah, it is. We call it on hiatus. Yeah. So now a lot of my time is focusing on Creative Curry, and I'm really enjoying working with Dinesha and listening to the conversations that you have with the artists, right? Yeah, it feels like the kind of podcast that I would subscribe to, regardless. So it's nice to have it live and producing it.
Yeah. I think that was one of the reasons why it was an almost immediate match with Poet X and Safwan, because our values were the same. We liked the similar things. We knew what we wanted. But you know what idea came to me as you were talking, Safwan? You know, it'd be really cool. Maybe you should start a podcast reviewing podcasts.
Oh, yo.
Actually, yo.
Right? You just do one random episode of each podcast and just be like, this is what works, this is what I like, this is what... I think it'd be really cool.
It could be. Yeah.
I don't know if you'd feel like you have to up your podcast game to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You're creating this kind of content and you're you're giving feedback to other people. You're giving feedback to freaking WNYC podcast. Gimlet podcast.
If you get feedback on WNYC, okay. Then respect though.
Today I'm going to be reviewing Gimlet Media. Yeah.
But on that, okay, so two questions have come up. The first is then, what makes a good host for you? Because you seem to have gone back twice to this notion that you feel that you can't be in front of the mic.
Yeah.
Right? And then discovering that you felt that you definitely weren't in front of the mic, right? But what was that? What determines that for you? That's the first question. Then the second one is, since you've been making and producing for 4 years, it'll be 4 years. What are your golden rules that makes that is specific to you? What is the Safwan produced podcast? You know, that it's almost, if someone were to listen, they know where it comes from, in the way Gimlet has a specific there's a specificity, and WNYC has a specificity. Okay. Yeah.
I get to the second one first. So I think it's always the content that I like is the one that's informational. So I know that there are shows where, where it's just a bunch of people, a bunch of friends, a bunch of comedians, shooting the shit or something like that. I feel like I don't like that kind of content as much as stuff that I feel like I can learn from. But one important thing is also it cannot be a lecture. right? So that's where I think I think good hosts comes from, where they can get information out of their guests without making it sound like it's like a news interview. When you listen to the news, sometimes it's like, these questions are all like pre-planned, and you're not responding to the answers. You're just like going down a list. So like, I feel like, macam the podcast I try to make, at least macam with Creative Curry and before this, is I try to make it like informational, but macam sounding natural. It's like conversations that we have, right?
Right.
So it's always inspired from that, from the conversations that we have with people that we want to learn from, and we ask questions and they answer, and then like that whole interaction is feels so natural. So I always try to replicate that, as a host. So I think, macam, if you were to say my style, I want to create more content like this, and maybe be improve at making this type of content. What was the first question again?
Host. what makes, yeah, and I
oh,
think,
yeah,
yeah.
What makes good, yeah. good host?
What's a good host for you?
Yeah, yeah, so I think,
what is that?
Which is basically host that makes a conversation feels natural, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I really hate like news interviews.
Okay.
I know because they do that because it's a time constraint, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They have a 2-minute slot, and they have to get as much out. That's why it's designed like that. But the thing with podcasts is usually we don't have a time limit, right? And you can go half an hour or 40 minutes or
1 hour.
One and a half hours, it's fine. Usually lah, right? Because we don't have that limitation, I feel like a good host would be someone who can make a conversation engaging while also taking out that bits of information, that nuggets of wisdom out of the guests. And I feel like those that macam that does it well are the ones who are really quick at coming up with questions and like responding, which I feel I can improve on that. I'm not there yet in the hosting sense, like, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, which then kind of like on that, so D, now that you've hosted,
I'm scared.
This is a news podcast, right? We got a 60 time. No, kidding. Okay, but as someone who has now finished an entire season, what, in your opinion, makes a good host? Now that you've done it for yourself, you have listened to podcasts, clearly, for some time as well. What is that for you?
I think sometimes guests, when they're answering a question, they sometimes have a tendency to meander and like go off in the wrong directions or go off on tangents that are not necessarily relevant to the question. I think one of the struggles is to then cut them off or like to stop them, to be like, hey, come back to the question, or find ways to like, if they meander but the meandering works, let them meander but find a way to come back to the question, right? I know that's something I struggle with sometimes, because I feel like I don't know if I want to cut them off. Do I cut them off? Do I not cut them off? Do I let them wander? Do I cut them off in editing? And like in post, we are like chop, 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 chop. Doesn't work. I think the hosts that I like and I've noticed when I listen to podcasts is, it's a bit unfair to say this, but I think your voice plays a huge role. I definitely think the voice you have on audio makes a difference. We were actually talking before this recording, Safwan and I were talking about, we were just wondering why certain episodes maybe like underperform compared to other episodes. And we were wondering, and we never finished this conversation, but I did wonder if the guests themselves, whether the way they speak or the tangents they sort of go off, I wonder if that turns people off a little. I do think that's a question because I think, unfortunately, but that's the thing, right? I don't know whether you can change your voice.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think you can change your voice. I think it's you could perfect it, you could improve on it, but you can't really change your voice. And I would say I'm very lucky to have a voice that people seem to like.
Share. Share.
No. But the only reason I'm saying this is because it's been one of the most confusing compliments to receive from people who listen to the podcast and be like, I think the weirdest is the person who said, I would listen to you read recipes. And I was like, okay, note to self. Put it under ideas of things to do.
Yes.
Right. I'm not going to throw the person under the bus, but yeah, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. No, but I think voice definitely helps. My favorite hosts have nice voice, engaging voice. They sound friendly, but also they ask questions that are different, unique. All of those things play roles. The voice and the questions that's asked, I think, play a huge role in what makes a good host.
Is that what you look for then?
No. I look for... I'm very... And again, goes back to value systems Safwan and I have. We are both into informational podcasts. So the podcasts I listen to are almost all informational. I've recently gone into story. But I think the only reason I was drawn to this particular story podcast that I really love, it's called The Two Princes, is because it's queer. And it's love and it's like it's great voice acting. So, which is weird because it comes back to voice.
I think voice is very important because that's the only element that's available to you in a podcast, right?
And you can't change. You can't really change it.
Yeah, you can't really change. Yeah. Like I think in let's say in a TV show or like in movies, right? Sometimes like the there's so many elements to it. There's the visual one, and then there's the auditory, and then sometimes also it's like the experience of like maybe being in the cinema, being in the at home watching on a TV like Netflix and something. So much, and there's a lot of elements. But usually, I feel like with podcasts, it's a medium that's consumed typically while doing something else.
Yes,
like it's not. It's not like a medium where you're like, okay, I want to listen to a podcast now and like sit on my couch, press play and like just listen. If you do that, I guess it's
good for you.
But I feel like most people like listen to podcasts while they're commuting, while they're doing chores, while they're, working out and stuff like that, right? So that's why I feel like a good voice, a clear voice, it's something that has to be clear even when you're doing something else. Even when you're driving, you hear the voice, it still reaches you, you know what I mean? So it cannot be muddy, it cannot be unclear. So that's what I think elevates podcasts, between podcast hosts. Like what differentiates between like a good one and a great one?
Wow! It's
I put a lot in. I put a lot of thought into this medium.
That is interesting. Look, and that is actually quite true. Now that I reflect, like the podcasts that I've like kind of the ones that I've been very consistent with versus the ones where I'm like in and out. You know, the host actually does play a very important role, whether or not the content is, you know.
And the guest plays a role to a certain extent, because sometimes you like the host, but then if the guest is like the opposite, right? If the guest is like I said, like it's not clear or something, you feel like put off. What's next in my playlist?
Delete episode.
On that note, guest selection.
Okay, so this one was very clear at the beginning. I was very clear that because of the structure of the way the episodes are, this entire first season required people who were somewhat involved in writing. Like that was the intro. It had to be writing because we tested We played around with options. We did a test episode with Azam. That episode was actually given out to people for feedback. People gave us feedback, and then we improved on the model of how it works. So there was always going to be the curry question at the beginning. There was always going to be, we're going to talk about their childhood. We're going to see where it wanders off to. There will be a music break in between that Safwan decides where it goes. There will be a music break before the guest starts reading or reciting or performing. And then there will be rapid fire at the end. So it was always going to have to involve writers for the first season. And I was also very deliberate that my first episode, I was deliberately not going to... I failed, unfortunately, is that I was going to try and ensure that it was only one guest per industry. So if the first guest is a poet, I cannot bring in another poet. If the first guest... then so that's why it was like very deliberate in order of the guests we had. We had poet, we had copywriter, we had blogger. Who was episode four?
Singer.
Oh, Suhaila was singer-songwriter. And then episode 5 with Mel, with Melissa Rani, was where I struggled. Because technically, I started with a poet and then we had a poet. So in my head, my justification was, she's a journalist. that's my justification in my head. And then I further got myself into trouble because then I brought Kat Brogan. Yeah. I cannot run, poet. And then we were stuck.
She's a teacher.
Yeah,
she's an educator.
I was very deliberate in that industry specific. And then episode 7 we had Sumitra, so I was thinking of someone who writes for Instagram short story. Then we had Katrina. Katrina was again tricky because Katrina is a poet to a certain extent as well, and her writing is poetry. But Katrina very much came in with the lens of activism, as an activist. And then it was you, Vesha. And I think my justification for you was always that you were a theatre maker, like theatre maker, illustrator. So your role, you were a poet, but like I could justify it. I could justify it in my head, right? And that was the selection of how we made of like in again, and the few reasons why I chose industry specific is because I have a lot of friends who are writers. And I had to be able to, and actors or artists and things like that, and I had to figure out a way to justify why I wasn't inviting them on the podcast. Because there would always be this thing, oh, you've got a podcast, you should invite me. I'm your friend. We work together. And there was, there I will come to that shortly. So that was that. Second justification was that they all had to be female identifying or presenting at the time of the invitation. So it was very deliberate. Like I was going to be like, it was going to be an almost all female presenting, identifying. And it was, it turned out to be an all female identifying and presenting collection for season one for all 9 people. I was very deliberate in that because I felt like there are a lot of male writers and things like that, but I wanted that distinction. I wanted it to be an all female presenting audience. And really, to be very honest, it was because I didn't want, it was very easy when people would be like, hey, can I get on the podcast? I could be like, sorry, all women. Yeah. And I could be like, I can't have you on. I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot with season 2 because I don't know how to navigate this now.
Right.
But that was my justification. And so that entire list was written out in advance of who all the industries, the different people. The list is very long. I think we went up to like 15, 18 people.
Oh,
yeah. So that's part of the reason why there's this, I feel like, which we put in a lot of filters, essentially, right?
Yeah,
filters. In order to fill up that ten episodes plan that we had. So we put on this all these filters to see like how can we manage to plan out this season properly, like in terms of guest selection. Yeah.
Apart from maybe like one or two exceptions or changes, that list has been pretty consistent. Exactly. We pretty much stick to that list that we set out at the beginning. We had other options. We had people who were, I think we had, I don't know, I'm trying to think what else we had. I know singer-songwriter definitely there. Maybe there were other people who were like possible like video game writers. I think there was an option for that. There was maybe a sports writer. There were options like a comedian, stand-up comedian. That was an option. We had a lot of these this time. I think other points was that I was very conscious of race. I was very conscious of the race of the different guests. I noticed that I started with a Malay guest, and then I went to 2 Chinese guests, and then I went back to a Malay guest, and then I was very conscious of like my own race. Like I was like, okay, where are the Indians? Like, and then I knew that like certain people who were there were always going to be there. It's just Then there were other choices I had to make and things like that. It was very conscious lah. There was a ridiculous amount of conscious thought that went into it. Yeah. And even the order.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that if I put this guest after this guest, I was possibly inviting possible, like, hassle or trouble from other people who maybe had issues with some of the guests. I was well aware of this. Like, I was really like, okay, it's a decision I'm going to make, lah. And we would have, like, conversations. Yeah, yeah. Be like, I'll text the group or I'll text him and we'll have a conversation and be like, hey, this is going to be a problem. What do you guys think? How do we do this? Yeah, it was a lot of conscious thought had to go into it.
And then I guess in that sense, that's why I feel like it was so, I feel like easy working with you because, macam when I first started this venture, like none of us had production background, right?
Mm.
So, macam we were all like learning on the job, lah, essentially. And when Creative Curry, this like a whole months like just pre-production work, right? Where we just do planning, we set up like what kind of format and everything. And if I were to like, do something like this when I just started, it'd be like, let's put the mic on and like see where it goes kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like I think it went as smoothly as it did. Even though there's like macam some guest changes ke apa,
yeah.
I feel like that's inevitable. Okay. It's because of the pre-planning stage.
Yeah, there was a lot of pre-planning. Like even now when this episode is being recorded, we are literally in 24 hours from now, the entire team is meeting to pre-plan season
2. Yeah.
Like it's a conversation that we're all like, literally. Yeah. That's, like, and I forced that conversation to happen. I'm like, I don't care, we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
And I make that happen because I think it's important that all of these different voices come in and that we talk about what worked, what didn't, what we liked, what we didn't like, how we can be better.
Yeah.
And how we can grow into season 2. Like this whole week, like leading up to tomorrow's the conversation of season 2, I'm thinking, what would I do differently? What do I want? Who do I want? How does the structure change? Is it still writers? Does it change? What do we focus on? Yeah.
So on that, like the question that you had when you first began and the question that you have now, has that shifted? As a reason for you venturing and building Creative Curry?
I don't think I started with a specific question, to be very honest. I think it was because it was always going to be, like we said, informational. There wasn't necessarily a central question. Along the way, the question came in the sense that curry is a great icebreaker.
Yeah.
It's great as a recommendation.
There's nothing to do with the fact that you're Indian.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do. Actually, that was it. No, but let's be honest, that was an entire conversation.
We did have like, you know, should we do curry?
Yeah, like, considering the host is Indian, this is a conversation we had. Do you know to name this podcast? We had, I think, like I came up with 20 different names.
Yeah.
And we were like vetoing, like, does this work, doesn't work, does this work, doesn't work, doesn't work. And like I was very conscious of the fact that I'm Indian and the fact that I'm putting curry in the name of an episode is a choice. It is a deliberate choice. And like, I remember we had this conversation. The four of us were like, are you sure? Like, bro, are you sure or not? We had this conversation. So I think I didn't have a central question. Along the way, when I realized that I really liked asking people about childhood, again, I realized it was a very good icebreaker because then we picked up things, we learned that. Things about people's childhood that I could then like spin off and play with. I think the rapid fire has always, well, I think will probably remain the same. I don't think maybe add a question at most, but like the structure has been fixed. The questions are fixed. I don't know whether it's hard because I know that it's really gotten solid that I'm curious about creativity as a process. But I think creativity is just a word, because if I'm really being honest, I'm curious about the process of being, the process of people becoming, the process of people making things. It's the process that I'm curious by. Creativity is just the word we put to mask it. And that's like the bigger question. Yeah. Like, I mean, we could literally, like, if we decide season 2 can be spiritual curry for everyone. The spirit. And there was one episode where I turned to Safwan and I'm like, spiritual curry podcast. Like, it's possible.
Right.
But the question is process. It's really just process of being and becoming. That's what I'm curious
and
about.
I think initially it started to be macam, I think when we were first discussing it, it was we had the idea of making it more like craft centric, right?
Yes. Yeah,
like macam what the practical things that you're doing in like improving your craft, right? Like practical advice. But then I think when we start going doing a few interviews and like we start getting into, I feel like more like internal and sometimes historical reasons of their creativity, I feel like that's a more insightful conversations, you know.
Yeah, because the first three episodes were actually shot very fast and back to back.
Yeah.
Before we even had a publication date. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a date. We just shot the first three episodes first. And so, first three episodes were really our test and test and learn and grow and things like that.
Part of the pre-production.
Part of our pre-production. Part of our pre-production.
Record three episodes first before release.
And to be fair, we've actually already recorded one episode of season 2.
Yeah.
That's already done.
My That's God, done. You guys.
Yeah, because the guest.
Bloody hell. Okay.
Yeah, season 2 episode, one of the episodes is done.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, this podcast is produced by Poet X, Malaysia's first ever poetry podcast. Check them out at Poet X Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And now, back to the episode.
You know, with any craft or like with any project, you start off at a certain place, right? And then you always, towards the end or like the end of that phase, mm-hmm. you find yourself shifted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like if in that sense for you, Safwan, mm-hmm. like where would you say that as someone who works behind the scenes, mm-hmm. where did you first begin in this venture mm-hmm. and where do you find yourself now?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think when I first started considering, you know, making podcasts, I always imagined myself to be like one of the hosts, you know, like macam hosting podcast. Because when you listen to podcasts, that's the thing that hits you, right? Like the host, and that's the face of the whole operation. Tapi macam I find that when you know working with different groups in producing podcasts, and I find that I enjoy the macam being behind the scenes more, because it then macam I don't have that how do you say macam I don't have that layer that I have to consider. I don't have that. I don't have to speak, basically.
But I
just have that layer that I can focus on, like the behind the scenes layer. Mm. Because, macam a lot of the macam when you hear Creative Curry podcasts on Spotify and stuff, sometimes that's not the full conversation. We apa nama? We craft the episode in a sense. We craft the conversation. We cut out bits. Sometimes we rearrange bits. And that is like what I do while I'm listening. Macam when Dinesha and the guests are having the conversation, I'm like, okay, maybe this part is macam if we remove, it doesn't affect the whole conversation. Maybe this part is like a bit ni, or maybe this part have to be earlier, or like we need more context and stuff like that. So that's what I do.
How do you decide that?
I don't know. I guess
it's quite instinctual.
Yeah, it's like instinctual. It's just a gut feeling, right?
Yeah,
macam, when you, and I try to make it so that you don't really hear.
Yes.
I did, right?
It's smooth. Yeah, that's one seamless conversation.
I don't realize. I'm just like, Safwan, did you remove something there? Very hard for me to realize. And sometimes the only time I notice, like when it's like, maybe he removed like an explicit word or something, like he suddenly removed it. And I'm like, should remove something there. Mm. But yeah, otherwise
I sometimes remove like a section of conversation and Dinesha was like, wait, I think I remember talking about this, but it's not in the conversation anymore. I'm like,
She's like, no, it doesn't work. Gone.
I thought it flows better.
I mean, so you, Dinesha, don't actually have you're not really part of that process then.
I think depends on the episode. I feel like there were some episodes where I was a bit more like present in the editing process, and some episodes Safwan just does it, and then I like step in.
Yeah,
and, like,
because whenever I do the edits, I also like macam run it by because we have like an edit, and I'm like I'll send it to you. You have like a listen. Yeah. What do you think? And then
I'll like fixes. So sometimes it's raw, and then I go in and be like, cut this.
Right.
Sometimes it's already done, and I go in and see if there's anything that needs to be changed. So I think it's like a case to case situation.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm editing, sometimes Afan does all the editing.
So so that's what I do when I'm behind this, I guess behind the scene, listening to the conversation. I try to somehow pre-edit the conversation while much of the conversation is being had, right? I enjoy that more instead of, I guess, doing this.
Because he's external. That's one of the ways it works, because Safwan's separate from the conversation.
Right.
He gets to look at it from the outside.
Yeah. Yes, that's actually, that's such a good point. Yeah. That is actually a very good point.
Plus, editing three voices. We more have a headache. Just two voices.
This episode is going to be fun.
You think I'm editing? I'm just going to put this on.
The whole episode, all the madness.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, you know, like, I imagine, like, Teh Halia versus, say, Creative Curry versus, like, Poet X, in comparison, it's very different.
They're very different podcasts. Yeah.
You know, and so that, in that, even though, yes, like producer, I would imagine that then even the capacity you sit within these podcasts would also be very different. Mm-hmm. Like, was in looking at all three, is there not that I want you like pick a favorite, but is it like, I think what would be the ideal? Yeah, what would be your ideal, knowing that, okay, this is where you are, this is your turf, right, behind the mic, and that you've kind of explored what that turf looks like within these three very different structures as well. Mm-hmm. What seems to be that balance for you, you know, that
ideal? I think it's, so I don't know if it's similar, but much like you, Vesha, you work with different mediums, right? So they're like different formats, but essentially they're all drawings, let's say, right? So much, I think maybe it's the same thing when I have like a full structure podcast like Poet X, where me and Azam literally have a script. We go through the script and then we record a bunch of poets and like doing the, like find what we want according to the theme. So it's very deliberate versus Teh Halia, which is like the other end of the spectrum, where we literally switch on the mic, like decide what we're talking about this week. This thing that happened, okay, switch on the mic, let's go. And so that's the other end of the spectrum. And like, I think Creative Curry sits somewhere in the middle, where it's a bit more, there's a bit of structure, but it's not rigid, right? It's still free flowing. And so I guess maybe that's, I'm happy working at this in these three formats at different times lah. So sometimes I feel like I want structure, I want like rigidity, I want like this, and then sometimes it's like a free flowing thing, feels more natural. I'm not so sure it's the same analogy, but
It's the art of podcasting, basically, right? And then there's a practice to it, right? An individual practice. Yeah. For you, Dinesha, I feel like the last year or so that you've really kind of experimented with different mediums, you know? And I think, how has that, now that the year is over, now that you have kind of gone through that journey, how do you feel about your current artistic practice going into 2020? Going into this new year, what does this look like?
I think 2019 was, like you said, correct. It was an experimenting with different mediums, experimenting with different styles, different containers, for lack of a better word. I think my artistic practice for 2020 looks more like doing more of the things that sort of work, in the sense that I want to double down on the podcast. I want to do more on the storytelling elements. I do want to do more on the coaching side. And I think it's because I keep reminding myself that I'm playing the long game. It's a long-term thing. I keep telling myself 3 years. like play the long game. Like, just keep going. Like, keep doing the right things again and again. Just keep doing. I think that's how my artistic practice has changed. If there's one thing, it's reminded me what are the 3 things I want to work on, and just doing it consistently. Mm. I think for me, it's consistency. That's the thing. Like, I will be honest. Like, I know this isn't a conversation I've had with Safwan. There are moments when I don't like my podcast. when I'm not happy with it. And I'm like, do I want to stop? Like, do I want to quit? Do I want to... Because what's great about the choice of doing a season of 9 episodes is we could quit.
Yeah.
There is an end point. We've reached the end point. We can quit now. Mm. We very much could. Mm. And I guess this is a conversation we will have when we talk about season 2, but there are moments when I'm not happy with it, and I feel like it's so much work, we're not getting paid, but like then I have to remind myself that it's the long game, it's long term. The feedback has been good, people like our episodes, people are benefiting, and so I have to, my artistic practice has been consistency, even when it's hard. That's what's changing. I have to tell myself that as long as I'm doing something within these three like areas that I want to build on, even if it's hard, I just have to keep going.
Yeah, and I would imagine there is definitely a level of discipline. This idea of showing up, right? Mm-hmm. The way that they talk about showing up to the page as a writer, that you have to show up to the mic, basically. And so now that 9 episodes.
Nine episodes done.
Never met me. But it's not... Delivered. So like, do you feel in having these 9 different conversations that practice also has changed? Has there been an impact in any sort of way, small or big, that you could sense from the beginning of the podcast to where you are now, going into season 2 especially?
I think I've realized that the podcast is a platform that is quite powerful. I get to ask for things in the sense that I could be like, hey, I have a podcast. Would you be interested to come on? And it's a very powerful tool for me to access people that I don't have access to. Now, depending on when this episode comes out, because we haven't decided, right? I've been able for season 2 to ask someone who I've been following online for like at least 3 to 4 years, who's not even in the country. And I've been like, hey, would you say yes? And the person said yes. And I never, like, it's just, for me, it's just baffling, because I've always thought that the only way I could interview someone is, because I've done interview projects before, and it was just... I always thought I needed like a very specific lens. Like, those interview projects were queer, like, and it was very difficult because those were not intended to be audio. So the audio is shitty and I'm having to transcribe it. And then I lost data and the transcribing is too hard. And then I've come to the realization that, maybe I can keep audio. I just need good people like Safwan who can ensure the audio is clean and the audio can be edited and the audio can be used. So I think for me, it's that realization that the podcast is a platform that I can throw at people, that I can use as a calling card, that I can use as a way to open my doors for me. I think it's that realization that sometimes you ask and people actually say yes because you have a podcast, because it's a platform that they can see themselves being on. So I think I would think my conversations with guests have changed my creative artistic practices in other ways. Because I really listen to each episode at least like, I don't know, anywhere between 3 to 5 times. Sometimes anywhere, like easily 3 to 5 times. Mm-hmm. And I always pick up something new. And then I'll be like, oh, I never thought of that. That's a question. And so I do pick up. I cannot track it. It's hard for me to track it. The one thing I can track is the power of the podcast. That I can track because it's opening doors that I didn't think I could open. Thank you.
Alright, so for both of you, Safwan as a producer, and of course Dinesha as a host, what would you advise to those who would like to venture into podcasting then? What creative advice would you give them?
Just start. Right? Macam, if when the thing is, when you read about starting podcasts online, like there are guides there, and it looks really intimidating. Like they ask you to buy this $400 mics and like learn how to edit yourself.
Or buy a course.
Like, or buy a course. Yeah, typically that's what happened. Right? Yeah. But now it's easier than ever to start your podcast. You just need your phone, literally. Right? You have apps that helps you now. Like you can just like tap and it's on Spotify right now. You can use the Anchor app. You can record through the Anchor app. So I think it's easier than ever. And like, while the equipments are nice, it's definitely not a necessity. So I guess if you are looking to start, just start. Just start that journey, right? That's, I guess that's what happened in 2016 when me and my friends, we just started and then like got me here. So I'm happy with that. Yeah.
I think mine, the first thought that came to mind was to know why you're doing it. Because I think it's important, like, unless the intention of the podcast is for you to ramble alone or like to record like your voice or to record like your work in that format, that's fine, like, if you want to do that.
Yeah, but there are famous podcasts that there's just like people rambling by themselves.
One person.
Like, they don't need guests. Yeah. It's just like him with the mic. It's fine.
Yeah. And
millions of downloads.
So jealous. one day. But no, I think just know why you're doing it. Because I think if your intention is clear, just stick to it, lah. Like, yeah. So, like, in my head, the intention has always been conversation. And so, even when we go into season two, that won't change too much. We might change the questions, might play around with format, but it will always be conversation. Like, it's not going to suddenly be me doing TEDx talks as the podcast. You know what I mean? Yeah, or guests doing TEDx talks. Yeah. Or guests doing workshops on the podcast. Cannot. Like, it's just, that's not how we want to do things. Like, it's always been conversation. And we'll stick to that.
And I think, like, I'm checking why you do it in the first place will make you, which is sometimes, you know, like when it feels really hard, right? Like you said just now, like when it feels like, oh my god, this is so much fucking work. I have so many other things to do. But then you look back at why you started it, and it makes it easier. So if the initial intention is to make money through podcasts, I guess, like
double, calm down.
Double check that. We're not at that level yet, especially in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you might be the first one to do it, right?
Yeah.
But check it, lah.
Yeah.
Along with your privilege, check why you want to do this.
Think it through.
Right. Yeah. Now, actually, since you guys have worked with each other for a whole season, what advice would you give each other?
Ooh,
and specifically life advice, then, in this case.
I think my immediate thought is, I think for Safwan was just like sleep. Like, sleep and take care of yourself, buddy. Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's my first thought that comes to mind.
Yeah, I guess I can. I can always use more sleep. I'm drawing a blank, though. Fuck.
Oh man.
It's a big question, though.
It is. It's a big question. It's a question that our guests usually struggle with, especially when I get them to give me advice. It's an episode. A lot of them struggle at that point.
But you're such an ideal.
Oh, God. You see, that's the problem, right? It's all illusion. It's all lies. Yeah.
Okay. Let's be... I'll be clear of why I'm struggling, right? Because I think like, all the expectations I had of you were met.
Aww.
So, like,
this is such a beautiful moment, folks.
So I feel like
you
macam,
should see the light.
When I have to like think or like what can be improved, I feel like it's such a struggle. So maybe try and stop the guests from meandering too much.
That's good advice. That's good advice. I have to figure that out, like,
mostly for someone who's editing. But really.
No, but yeah, that's gonna be one of the things we learn in season two.
Yeah.
I have to figure it out, lah. Mm. I have to find a way to cut them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when cutting them off, it's not just to say much. It's like it's sometimes I guess when you talk, right? So for the guests, like I'm guessing this is what happens when they talk. It's hard to much make the point. Like you just want to keep elaborating. You want to keep elaborating to make it as clear as possible. Right? And sometimes when they do that, they don't realize it's like, it's getting long. Right? Mm. You haven't stopped talking for like, about 12 minutes.
Someone's keeping track.
Yeah. So, but then there's no new points are being made.
Yeah.
This is the same thing, right? So,
yeah.
So I guess some people just have that. That challenge or that struggle to just, that's the point.
Mm.
I'm done, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And macam as a host, the thing is I don't know the answer though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't know what to do, right? Except for me, macam delete and post like what we usually do, right? Yeah. So Let's figure that out together.
Okay. Okay. Then I guess in closing, where do you find the best curry, folks?
So I have a feeling you asked this question.
Obviously. Obviously.
I think for me at the moment there is like my brain goes to the recommendation I gave in episode 3 with Gwenny, and when she suddenly asked me. Definitely curry wonton noodles in
Sentul.
Yeah, still
really?
So good,
wow.
Man. I mean, I think important to also note that it's haram. Sorry, it's not halal. That's the first that's the first thing.
Man.
Yeah, someone just went, damn it. But lately I've actually been thinking of the sambar that was in this this restaurant in Pasar Seni. The one that me, Vesha, and Pavitra Sambu went for after one of our nights of rehearsals.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember what it's called. It's right behind the temple. But when you come out of Pasar Seni or Central Market LRT station and you come down towards where the buses is, there is one Indian restaurant you would see.
Mm.
I remember the sambar there being very good. Like, I'm dreaming of it.
Sambar's not curry, though.
Sambar is curry, though.
Is it?
Sambar is curry. Sambal is not curry.
No, but
sambar is curry. Yes, it is. It fits under this British definition of curry.
Yeah. Okay.
It fits under the plethora la.
Okay.
I don't like, it doesn't have to be like, if anybody had given me good sambar, even Melissa Rani's episode, she recommended.
Yes, to each Sumita. Nice, he's called me too. I was like, wow. Okay, I did not know that.
You learned things.
You learned things.
So, in that sense, can I say like, macam ayam masak lemak, would that consider curry?
I suppose you could, because if you think about it, right, in episode, Suhaila was 4, Mel was 5. In episode 6, Kat Brogan said rendang.
Yeah.
She said rendang is an example of curry. Yeah. And I was just like, I was going to be like, Kat, that's not curry. But then I'm thinking about it, it technically is.
Yeah.
Curry is so broad.
The definition
of curry is so broad that rendang would work. So ayam masalamak,
But it's not ayam masalamak. Putting it out there.
Such a good case though. That was a great, good build. Good build.
I think for me, it's the first place I had banana leaf.
Ooh, where's that?
Sri Pandi.
Interesting.
I know, much like, when I say that, some people are like, what? Sri Pandi. But so I think maybe it's like nostalgia, so I guess like plays into it, maybe like the whole emotion.
This is
thing.
PJ.
Yeah. So like literally I had like mind blown moment when I had my first because I always had nasi kandar, but it's different, right?
It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
It's a different thing.
And like especially when I go with an Indian person, mm. and then they start like, macam talking in Tamil, yeah. and then they brought like something like macam they don't bring for the other people, right?
Like,
you know, like the onion curry or the ikan masin curry. I don't know what they're called in Tamil, but
yeah,
my wife would tell him, but I can never remember.
yeah. Oh, what ikan masin curry? The curry, the
curry. So and then they bring those out. I'm like, oh, this first time I had. Rasim there as well.
Mm. Did you go with Darshini, your wife?
No. Okay. First time I went with colleagues actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I literally remember that mind blown moment, like, oh my god, it's like explosion of flavor in my mouth.
Okay, to be fair, she probably decent banana leaf. Yeah. Like it does look chocolate. To be fair, if you want a solid banana leaf. Like, decent. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Not like some shitty place. Like, you know what I mean?
If the question is where do you find the best curry for me?
Yes.
It's super yes. there. Yeah. Nice. Where you find the best curry for me to recommend? I'm not sure. Right? But good. Like whenever I go to Sri Pandi, it's always been good.
So like Safwan, I see built, you know, this imagery and this, yeah, the sense of nostalgia and memory. And then D comes on and says, yeah, it's decent. Really?
I just Indian explained to
something. Actually,
oh, no, you like that?
Oh, really? That's so basic.
No, I mean decent in the best way. Like, I wouldn't say, like, if I need banana leaf and, like, Sri Pandi's was nearby, I wouldn't say no to it.
Okay.
Like, it's not, like, shitty. Right? Like
yeah. Then, where's banana leaf in particular?
Yo, banana leaf is hard at the moment, lah.
Because I think I asked you this last time. You said the Brickfields.
I said Vishal's in Brickfields.
Yeah.
I don't know, Standard has dropped a little. Visalachi's, not Vishal's. Vishal, they're next to each other. Visalachi's used to be go-to, and then like it sort of dropped a little. Mm. So I don't know, man. I feel like I'm going to have to like rediscover good banana leaf at the moment because I feel like it's dropped quite a bit.
So when you do banana leaf, right? Oh, now you're like...
Yo, let's do this.
Well into like curry conversation. Like, macam, do you like all in... mix into the rice, or you like, I just want that and that kind of thing.
Oh,
I think it depends on the place.
Okay, because
I know places like, say for example, like Vesha and I, whenever we're doing work in like Mutiara Damansara area, and we need banana leaf, like we need a rice fix, we will go to Matcha and Co. But like with Matcha and Co,
it's decent.
Yeah, exactly. Matcha and Co is decent. Exactly. It's decent, but it does the job.
Okay. Oh, God.
It does the job, but there's conditions. Mm. At Matcha and Co, in my opinion, you only take the sambar or dal curry. Yeah, you don't take fish curry, chicken curry, mutton curry, because none of that is good. So, like, in my opinion, you take, like, so... In the sense that it depends. Like, so certain places like that, I don't take any other curry.
Okay.
It does its basic. Mm. But now that I've really thought about it, best banana leaf to this date, curry leaf in Seremban. Which Nagari people will fight me for. And Vesha's like, Vesha's getting ready the knives. But the only reason I tell you it's good, it's because it's the only place for banana leaf where they give you 8 to 12 veggie options on the banana leaf.
Ooh.
Like, here you get 3, at best you get 4.
Yeah.
There it goes all the way up to 6, 8, 10, 12, depending
on. But you don't automatically get
all automatically. Eight. You get it automatically. You get all of it. That's why, in my opinion, it's one of the best, because if you just want a standard, like 7
ringgit. Is this where they serve the monitor curry
thing? No. Okay. Not the one that Katrina recommended.
Okay.
That, yeah, that's some like grand jazz. Like,
No. Like, if you want just sheer variety, 7 ringgit or whatever it costs it is, for the variety of just, like, you could just eat it like that. You don't need anything else. Yeah, for that reason, it's my vote for best banana leaf.
It's decent.
We just call each other out. Now we need to go to Mohammed and see whether it's really good, and then just be like, it's decent.
Okay, actually, now final question.
Okay.
Among all the conversations that you've both had, you've both listened to, top of your head, what is the one that has stayed with you? It could be a word, it could be a sentence, it could be like a thought. But what has stayed with you among the 9 conversations that you've had?
I don't know. I think this came to me today because I was re-listening to Katrina's episode, and it wasn't necessarily something that Katrina said, but because it, as listening to the episode, I thought of Sumitra's episode, which is the episode before, episode 7. And the advice that Sumitra gave me, which was, if you think it's good enough for you, it's good enough. I think that's come up a few times to remind myself that the only expectations is my own. And because I currently have a practice where I write every day and I post it, I have to constantly go back there, that if it's good enough for me, it's good enough. That's what's staying at the moment.
For me, it'd be something from Gwen Yee's episode about shipping, I guess. Yeah, I said that much of that drive that like is it where it's supposed to be? Should I just let it go, or you know, like keep working on it, kind of thing, right? I guess macam it relates more to what I do as my day job lah. Yeah, so macam like would you settle, or would you macam get better, or like make it better, kind of thing. Just until recently, I feel like macam that whole topic was in my head. Yeah. So for me, it was the shipping advice that Gwenny gave.
Okay, guys, I think I just want to say congratulations on a wonderful, wonderful season. And I think it's safe to say for all of us that we are very excited to see what's going to come up in the next.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We are excited too. Very, very excited. Vesha, thank you for hosting this episode.
Of course. Yes.
And that is our recap and review of season 1. Now, we would love to hear from you. Leave us your reviews and tell us who you would like us to have on the podcast. And we'll see how we can make that happen. The Creative Curry Podcast is produced by Podex. Huge shout out to my producers, Safwan Siddiq, Hanis Farah, and Azam Rais. This episode is also edited by Safwan Siddiq. The show is created and hosted by me, Dinesha Kathigesu. You can find me and my work online at dinesha.com. DHINESHA.com. Thank you for listening. I hope this podcast inspires you to keep telling the stories that you are telling.